is Karachi, the poor city of Pakistan, where anything can happen to anyone at any moment. In this edition of In Focus, I'll take you through the pain of Shia Muslims living in Karachi. According to the human rights groups, thousands of Shia Muslims were killed in the last couple of years, and 2013 also started with deadly bomb blasts and targeted killings of Shia technocrats, bureaucrats, and other high-ranking government officials.
In Pakistan's over 60 years history, military coups have always been prominent for their long-lasting impacts on Pakistani society that comprises multiple religions, sects, cultures, languages, and ethnicities. In different times, for different reasons, these military dictators were used to fulfill Western agenda in the region. To do so, they gave up the idea of independent foreign policy and did exactly what their foreign masters asked them to do, resulting in a radicalization of Pakistani society and spread of sectarian hatred. Shia Muslims, who roughly make up over 20% of Pakistan's 180 million population, were hard hit by these policies. Although the peak of radicalization was Zia-ul Haq era, but many here believe that in Pakistan the sectarian venom was first surfaced as big violent incident in the 60s. In Ayub Khan's time, a violent mob attacked Shia mourning procession in Thari Mirwa, a small village in Kherpur Sindh, and killed over 100 people. Then in 1979, Zia-ul Haq pushed the country into the US-funded war against Soviet Union in Afghanistan and made the Saudi brand extremists Pakistan's strategic assets, who were later used in Kashmir and in Afghanistan. In an appearance before the House Appropriation Committee in 2009, former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton explained how all that happened.
I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam, so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated, they lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument, which is, wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union, but let's be careful what we sow, because we will harvest.
But it was Pakistan that harvested what they sow. Karachi, the country's heartland of trade, has been ridden with sectarian violence that took the lives of thousands of Shia Muslims since Ayub Khan, the first military dictator. Recently, this menace has assumed deadly proportions with the beginning of the year 2013. The city witnessed the most deadly attacks this year, with a blast that shook the port city of Karachi after a powerful bomb with impact radius of over 700 meters exploded in a predominantly Shia neighborhood of Abbas town. Tanveer Zahra, who lost her husband in Abbas town carnage that took the lives of over 50 people and dozens of others were wounded. Let's see what questions she has to ask from the government, who she says spent 5 years in office and gave in return her husband's body.
حکومت کامیاب ہوتی تو اتنی خوریزی نہ ہوتی کیونکہ جب حکومت کے حکمران بتا رہے ہیں کہ آپ کیا ایسا ہو رہا ہے.
This bloodshed shows the government has failed to provide security to its citizens. When they know everything about what is going to happen and can suspend cellular services, then why did they not act on time and take some action to save my husband's life and prevent the bloodshed? It was a doomsday situation almost in every house in that neighborhood. People were mourning their loved ones. These miscreants want to stop mourning Imam Hussein, but the death brought mourning in every house, whether it was Shia or Sunni, who became the victim of that blast. I am asking from the rulers that when they go out, they go with full security protocol, and on the other hand, we are left with no security. Despite that this carnage happened, we do not see any security here. Many days have passed now and no one from the government visits our home to console us.
हमारी सेफ्टी उन्होंने क्या की? अभी भी देखें कि अभी इतना बड़ा हादसा होने के बाद भी कोई सेफ्टी नहीं है.
Shia Muslims hold huge protests and sit-ins in Karachi and across the country against the targeted killings. But so far, the killings continue unabated in the port city.
Let's now meet with Mehzer Zehra, another victim of the targeted killings. She lost her father and received 4 bullets on her body when the miscreants intercepted their car while she was going to her school.
I was going to school with my father.
I was going to school with my father at 7:30 when we reached Happy Home, a place near my school. Suddenly we came under fire. I cried and then they fired on me too. In that firing, my father lost his life and I received 4 bullets. One on my lung, second on my hand and fractured it, and the third one on my spinal cord that made me paralyzed.
जैसे मेरा हाथ फ्रैक्चर हुआ और एक स्पाइनल कॉर्ड लगी जिसकी वजह से मैं अब पैरालाइज हूँ.
वो हमारे लिए बहुत मुश्किल का वक्त था क्योंकि मेरे शोहर शहीद हो चुके.
That was a very hard time for us because my husband died and she was badly wounded. That was a really difficult time. I don't have words to explain how we went through that moment. I was mourning my husband and at the same time I had to take care of my daughter. I appeal to the international community as a mother to help me fully recover and rehabilitate my child, and may Almighty Allah save her from dependence and recover her.
Mehzer's mother told us that they were promised for best medical treatment abroad, which the government has not fulfilled so far.
And now recently, the death of Urdu literature, as many here put it. I'm now going to visit the family of Professor Sayyid Sibte Jafar Zaidi, who was intercepted while he was coming back from his college, where he was a principal. He was not just an academic, but also a great scholar and a poet of Urdu vocal art, Soz and Salam.
Tens of thousands across Pakistan mourn his death. He was a renowned Soz and Salam reciter, a special genre of Urdu literature about mourning poems that commemorate the martyrdom of Prophet Muhammad's grandson Imam Hussein some 14 centuries ago in Karbala. Although he was the principal of government educational institution, but no government official visits his family or phoned them to heal their pain.
2 baje ka waqt tha to foran hi breaking news maine ye suni ke mashhoor shayar Soz Khan Sayyid Sibte Jafar Zaidi.
It was 2 p.m. when I got this news on TV that the famous poet and Khuswan has been killed. Being a partner, a wife, one can understand how difficult it is. We shared 30 good years together. In his every activity, religious, social, or cultural, I was his friend and his companion. I can't explain those sentiments in words, but all I can say is that I was recalling the miseries of our Imam in Karbala that healed my pain, that strengthened me, and today I am talking to you.
Maula ne waqai maine un Karbala ki bewarisi biwiyon ko zehen mein lai mein.
No one from the government of Pakistan came to console us. Also, no one from the Ministry of Education came while Sibte Jafar was not only the asset of our family, but of the whole nation. And you'll be aware of his status among people. He was not a common man, but an organization unto himself, and a very hard-working person.
जो हमारी दादरसी करता, जबकि सिप्ते जाफर साहब सिर्फ मेरे ही नहीं, बल्कि पूरी कौम का सरमाया था।
वो हमेशा कहते थे कि बेटी बाप के लिए रोती है, बेटी बाप माँबाप का हमेशा करती है।
He used to say that daughter always mourns her parents and does a lot for them. Exactly that happened. And I mourned him. He was a practicing Shia Muslim, and the mourning for Imam Hussein was part of his life, and it was also visible in his public relations.
एक बार ज़ियारत पे मौला अली की शहादत के लिए शाम गए थे.
हमें ना इन लोगों से उम्मीद पहले थी ना अब है ना.
We were not expecting any peace from the previous government.
and for future also, I'm not optimistic. I do not think that they will stop violence against Shia Muslims in the country.
The Human Rights Watch, in its last year's report, says the Pakistani government should urgently act to protect the minority Shia Muslims community in Pakistan from sectarian attacks by Sunni militant groups. The government should be held accountable for those ordering and committing deadly attacks on Shias. Also, the rights groups pointed fingers towards law enforcement agencies and the government, which they say is not doing enough, or in some cases nothing. Experts believe that the government's persistent failure to apprehend attackers or prosecute the extremist groups organizing the attacks suggests that it is indifferent to this carnage. To know more on this, I sit down with the chair of Human Rights Commission of Pakistan.
Although sectarian strife has existed in Karachi for many years, but in the past couple of months, we've really seen a rise in sectarian killings. And I think that has coincided with the fact that the Taliban have strengthened their presence in Karachi. And this is a fact that now, finally, the police officials, the law enforcing agencies are admitting that there are certain parts of Karachi that are, you know, quite under the control of the Taliban. Earlier, there was a denial by the officials. About 2 years ago, when the MQM said that the Taliban are entering Karachi, there was a denial by everyone, including police officials. But now that is a reality. And there is, I believe, you know, a nexus between the Taliban and the Sunni extremist parties. So that has given, led to a rise in sectarian killings.
There is a strong view among the Shia Muslims in Pakistan that the law enforcement agencies are purposely turning a blind eye to the bad outfits that are working freely right under their noses. It shows their complicity in the barbaric slaughter of Shias. Also, there are reports that the sympathizers of these banned groups in law enforcement agencies did help the extremist elements against the state and in the killing of Shia Muslims. The leader of Majlis-e-Wahdat-e-Muslimin, a political party that emerged as a strong political voice of Shia Muslims in Pakistan, holds state's institution responsible for the spread of sectarianism in Pakistan.
Dekhiye, Pakistan mein stakeholders kai ek hain. Kuch aapki establishment hai aur kuch siyasi partiyan.
There are many stakeholders in Pakistan. Some are from establishment and others are political parties. As far as our establishment is concerned, they are responsible for promoting terrorism, extremism, giving them a space, providing them cantonment and training them. It was all done by our uniform-wearing establishment. Although after 9/11 they changed their policies, but some policies are still continuing. Apparently, there is a ban on these outfits, but in some pockets, their training process continues so they could be used in Afghanistan and Kashmir. Afghanistan and Kashmir is just a cover cause. These elements are coming back to the urban centers where they do these anti-Shia attacks with or without the consent of their masters.
There have been certain incidents. Only recently, a police inspector was arrested for passing on information to the Taliban. And there was another case incident in which I think another police official was killed due to somebody within the force being a Taliban sympathizer. So there are instances, and of course, it doesn't help the process of weeding them out of, you know, cleaning up those areas. But I think it's just one factor. I think the law enforcing agencies, they did not realize the threat earlier. So the Taliban really entrenched themselves and they mingled with the, you know, Pakhtun communities in different areas. And as we get reports that, you know, there are certain areas in Karachi that have become practically no-go areas, and the Taliban have set up their own judicial system, their own courts. So these are very dangerous trends, and one of the fallouts, of course, is sectarian killing. And now every time there is, you know, an incident, they usually claim responsibility, or even if they don't, the police point to them. Like in the case of the Abbas town, bomb attacks, there was one suspect that they killed in an encounter, which is unfortunate, because when they kill people in encounters, then, you know, one doesn't know what actually happened, because that person is not brought to court. But the fact is that, you know, they are actively involved in sectarian violence in Karachi. The last government, it was an extremely weak civilian government, and it did not really show any spine in standing up to the extremists. For example, in Balochistan, it was only after the Hazara communities very strongly protested that they, you know, ended up arresting Lashkar-e-Jhangvi people. Although they'd been there for years targeting Hazaras, but it was only after the Supreme Court took notice and the Hazaras, you know, staged that sit-in, etc., that, you know, they went and arrested about 100. Suddenly, you know, they arrested 100 Lashkar-e-Jhangvi people. So certainly I would say that, I won't say that the government actually promoted extremism, but by like taking a back seat and not being forceful enough in cracking down on them, it really allowed extremism to spread. And on the other hand, we are seeing major political parties, you know, going for seat adjustments with some of these extremist groups, or, you know, seeking their support. So that again, it shows that the next government, when it comes, it may not be able to deal with extremism. So that is not a good indicator.
This man is the advisor of Sindh's caretaker government on security, and he also advised the previous government of Pakistan's People's Party. And during that tenure, according to the local media, over 5,000 people were gunned down in different type of violence in the city.
The banned outfits, from our point of view, are are banned outfits, and we have to crack down on them. Even if they come up with a new name, for us, it's the same group which is coming up with a new name, so we have to come out very strong on them. So it really doesn't matter. And obviously these groups, they do try to camouflage, and they do try to come up with a different name by deceiving people. But we understand this point, that there are outfits which have been working in one name, and they want to later on come up with a different name, and they work in that name. So I think we are pretty much aware of the situation. Let's not compare the situation like this, in which the Shia community or the Sunni communities, I think they are a part of a country. They are Pakistanis, and the situation which these terrorist groups are trying to create, I don't think so. They really care that which community or which sect they are targeting. They just want a situation in the country. They want to divide the communities. They want to divide the sects into a way where there is a civil disorder in the country, in the cities, which they have not been successful. Since the time the caretaker setup has come in, the police and the rangers are very effectively on ground. They are tackling these issues of especially target killing issue. And even other issues like we have threats from these banned outfits, Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan. And also we have a crime issue, which is the main, mainly the extortion cases, which you call the Bhatta collection, and those groups which are involved in that. So the police and the rangers have been very effectively on ground, and especially when you talk about target killing, I think the police has successfully cracked down on them, and even the rangers have done it. And they have arrested a good number of target killers, and also the illegal weapon which is coming in Karachi and which is here. There is a big recovery of illegal weapons also. So as far as the crime situation is concerned, I think our law enforcement agencies have very effectively handled the situation.
But this is the government's line. Others think differently.
One can only hope. The thing is that, the way I see it, it's really a question of Pakistan's survival. because the way, you know, we are allowing, not just the government, but perhaps even as a society, the way we're allowing extremist elements to, you know, take over our lives, you know, little by little, they are creeping in, you know. Karachi was a very different city, as we know, decades ago, and the way, not just extremism, but different kinds of violence has affected our lives. So I think really it's a question of the way the state is headed. And even if it's a coalition government, unless the political parties realize that together they have to stand up to extremism and they cut their ties with these elements, I don't see, you know, much improvement in the years ahead.
Sayyed Aftab Haider Jafri was another victim who fell prey to the targeted violence against Shia Muslims in Pakistan. He was intercepted along with his friend while he was going to his office. His family says no federal or provincial officials has contacted them so far. He received 18 bullets on his body.
It was 8:45 when he left home for office, and at 9:20 a.m. I got a call that he is shot and wounded. My relatives avoided telling me about his death, and they kept saying that he is wounded, but later I came to know that he died. No one from the government officials came to our house to console us. He was a man working for everyone, and it is painful that at a time of his death, no one came to heal our wounds.
He was one of the founding members of Palestine Foundation in Pakistan. His family says that he always raised voice against imperialist powers. And that is the reason why imperialist agent in Pakistan gunned him down.
What can I say to the government which doesn't care about what's happening to the people, where killings continue unabated? What's the government doing? They're doing nothing.
Shia Muslims, roughly one-fifth of Pakistan's 180 million population, who count the nation's founder Muhammad Ali Jinnah as one of them, is under siege within their homeland, which they established along with other Muslims of the subcontinent in 1947. Unless the government takes serious steps to undo what military dictators did in last decades and root out imported ideologies and foreign brands, there is no end in sight to this bloodshed against Shia Muslims in Pakistan.